This guy's an idiot.
Tell me something I don't know.
That's me.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Fantasy Hockey X podcast. I'm Devin Davidson, your host. With me, as always, Bruce Gunther, John Enns, and Tyler Holman. Boys, what's happening?
I'm watching my fantasy team die right in front of me.
Oh, slow death?
Oh, it's been painful. I got McDavided.
Oh, geez. Many others. Well, okay, so Bruce, speaking of which, I think we're all excited to talk about Friday night's game. That was absolutely bonkers. Tyler, since you were there, you give us a lowdown. What was the game like? What was going through your mind when you saw that goal live? And what was the building like?
It was wild. The anticipation when the puck turned over there and he kind of came back out across the blue line, Puljujärvi was still hanging out in front of the net
forever.
For what seemed like 10 minutes. Yeah. And then just the slow build as he started going through people. And when he put it in, I don't even know what I was doing, but I wasn't in my chair anymore. I was dancing around. Jordan was there. He was screaming. Everybody was screaming. It sounded like, I haven't been to a playoff game in the new building, but that's what I would imagine a playoff game to be. Like when DeHart scored that overtime goal, it was crazy, especially for November, like the beginning of November. It was wild.
I honestly got goosebumps and my jaw was like almost on the floor. Like I just laughed. I honestly just laughed. It was like, what just happened?
I was so hungover the next morning and I watched that goal probably 50 times and my eyes, it was hard to watch it, but I watched it. I went back to sleep again after, and then I watched it when I got back up again at about 2 o'clock, but it was awesome.
Oh man, that was incredible. Yeah.
Even outside of the building after, like on the street, there's probably 500, 600, 700 people all in front of the Gretzky statue there, the Hall of Fame room, when they were doing interviews and stuff. It was so loud. Cars honking everywhere we went after. It was crazy. It was insane for a November hockey game.
So it pretty much felt like a playoff game in November.
Yeah.
I'm sure the building just erupted when Draisaitl scored. Like it was in overtime.
It was crazy. I don't think nobody was, at least on the Loge level, nobody was sitting down. We were all standing. I'd already had a couple of gin and tonics, so I'm not even sure if I was in the right section anymore, but it was awesome.
I'm so bummed. I would have loved to have gone. Like you texted Taylor and I on, I don't know, Monday or Tuesday and said, hey, who wants to go to the game? And I actually forgot it was Kevin Lowe jersey retirement night. Completely forgot. I had projects on Friday at work that I just had, it wouldn't have worked for me to leave anyway, but when he scored that goal, I was just like, it was elation, but then I was like, fuck, I could have been there. Like I just, man.
Yeah. Like Paul Coffey was there. He was supposed to come to our table, but he didn't end up showing up. George LaRocque, we were in the elevator with him. Me and Jordan were going to the elevator. I don't even remember what we were doing or where we were going. We're probably trying to find hot dogs or something. I'm not sure. We're rushing to the elevator and some big, huge dude comes like flying past us and kind of like bumped into me.
Ready to fight him?
I was going to say something. And then we turn around and it's like huge George LaRocque. I was like, okay, this is fine. And then me and Jordan were both just like too scared to even say anything. We just froze and just like stared at each other as we went down in the elevator. It was like complete silence.
That's awesome. Yeah, it was awesome.
I just wanted to say, like, this is one of those moments where it's like, where were you when this happened? And I had some family over, so I was like, oh, I'll PVR the game and watch it later. And then hearing you guys talk about the goal. So I get home and whatever, I turn on the TV and I hit the play button. All of a sudden I see Hockey Central. I was like, what? Where's my hockey game?
Oh, no.
I missed the whole hockey game. And I actually ended up just being able to watch highlights. I was so mad.
Oh, shoot.
But, hearing Tyler's experience and everything else, and it's like, oh, yeah, I missed the game. like, oh.
Well, and even Puljujärvi, like, how good is Puljujärvi in that game?
I don't know.
Like, really like he awesome. that goal to make it 4-2, I think, when he absolutely ripped it, like, that was 141 kilometers an hour was ridiculous. Yeah,
it's crazy.
So,
I honestly thought the game was over when it was 4-1. Yep. I was like, oh man, Friday night game, playing New York,
drinking to forget.
And then, yeah, then we did. We started that, and it was wild.
Well, at least you didn't leave. Thing. Like, how pissed would you have been if you left?
Oh no, I was actually telling Jordan and the guys at the table. When we used to go to games when I lived in Lloyd, and we would come up with my grandpa, or whoever, it was a day event. You like left school early, you drove up there, went to West Ed or did whatever. We're at the game like 4 hours early. And you always left. My grandpa always made us leave 10 minutes into the third period. Didn't matter what the score was. I remember they were playing Anaheim and they were down, like, I think it was like 3-1 or something like that. And there's 10 minutes left and grandpa's like, okay, let's go. This is bullshit. We're out of here. So we get back to the truck, start driving to Lloyd, listen to it on the radio. They had come back and then ended up winning in overtime. And I still remember that. And that was probably 20 years ago. I still remember it like it was yesterday. Man. So I told that story there because everybody was kind of leaning that way. And it's thing we all stayed. It's also a good thing that you and Taylor didn't come because I already got home at 3:30. I don't even know.
We probably wouldn't know. No. You
guys ended up coming. You've been arrested or something.
It would have got out of hand. For sure it would have. I'm actually super bummed with that. But we're going to get to a game this year. And when they get to the playoffs, we're going to make one of those appearances. Like, I've never been to an Oilers playoff game yet, so we're doing it. So, prep your liver.
Yeah. I'm going to take a week off after.
Okay, so the other thing I was going to mention, too, before we got on the podcast here, I was looking at what the Oilers did for Halloween. I don't know if you saw any of those pictures. They're hilarious. Did you see that, Jesse? When is the Bison King?
Yeah. He's the best.
Oh, God. Can't say enough good things about that kid. Okay. Well, anyway, so we're doing NHL Week 5 waiver wire picks this week and preview. We'll get through the hockey news as we always do. I want to give a quick shout out to Nathan Uchak, the winner of our contest giveaway. He was good enough to post a few photos and mention us, and looked like he had a lot of fun with him and his buds. That's always good, right? That's kind of what we want, is when we do these contests, the guys get out there and have some fun and appreciate the tickets. So that was good to see. We'll do some more contest stuff like that again in the future, I think. So with that, let's move on to the hockey news here, guys. November 1st, Duncan Keith played in his 1,200th career game against the Seattle Kraken. He did score his first goal as a member of the Edmonton Oilers. Kyler Yamamoto scored in that game as well. His first goal in 28 games going back to April 8th of last season. So it was good to see, because he scored in that game, and then I think he scored in the next game as well. And that's huge for the team. If they can get Yamo going and get the top six rolling, that's going to be big. They're already playing so well, but I mean, just to have additional depth is good. Mikko Rantanen and Kale McCarr did not play on Wednesday, November 3rd. Burakovsky was doubtful. McCarr is actually placed on IR, and it sounds like he won't be back until next Thursday, November 11th. In his absence, Bowen Byram's played really well. He had that one game with two goals and an assist. I did pick him up in our Yahoo League, Bruce, and I mean, he's playing big minutes, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. He's got big shoes to fill.
Yeah. So, I mean, if he's available in your league, go grab him. We'll talk about it a bit in the waiver wire picks, but definitely a guy that you want to have on your roster right now if you can. Nick Schmaltz is going to miss 3 to 4 weeks with an upper body injury. Probably not huge news since he plays for the Oats. Jonathan Trouin is day-to-day, or he was. You took a puck off the top of his head, so he had no concussion symptoms, thankfully. Pekka Rinne became the first player in Nashville Predators history to have his number retired. Philip Forsberg was hurt in Tuesday's contest this week against the Flames. He's listed as week-to-week now. Unfortunate if you've got him on your roster. Sidney Crosby and Brian Dumoulin are COVID-19 protocol. So after a obviously rough start to the season for Crosby, now he's in COVID protocol. Guys, I'm sorry. I didn't actually lump all the COVID protocol stuff into the script like we talked about last week. So if it comes up throughout the notes, my apologies. But the other big news this week was Brad Ulrich's name was crossed off the Stanley Cup, according to TSN's Ryan Rashog. What's your thoughts on that, guys? That's the first time I think that's ever happened.
Slow clap.
I think it's good. the first time they've X'd it out, but now that it's X'd out, you can actually tell where it is on the cup. So it actually is more distinct now. You can actually see it better than you could before.
Yeah.
It's like, just take the ring out and just reprint the entire ring and take his name out.
Yeah, really, I guess that would make more sense, eh?
Because putting X's through it, you're just highlighting where it is on the cup, not actually hiding
it. I mean, at the end of the day, his name's off the cup, and I think that's important, so.
Yeah.
Leon Draisaitl became the first player since Mario Lemieux in 2002-2003 to record 20 points in his team's first 9 games played. Pretty lofty company there for Draisaitl. Jack Eichel was traded to the Golden Knights for Alex Tuch, Peyton Krebs, first-round pick, which was top 10 protected for 2022, and a second-round pick in 2023. A third-round pick did go back for Eichel as well. What did you guys think of the trade? I mean, Tyler, you had mentioned you kind of thought Vegas was in on it. They're always in on it. Do you like the trade for both sides, or what's your thoughts?
I thought they would have got a little bit more. Alex Tuch is a good player, and he is signed long-term. And I think that was probably important to Buffalo because nobody wants to go there. So if you got a long-term contract signed up, you've kind of got him for the next, I think it's 5 years or 6 years. So, I mean, Peyton Krebs, he hasn't looked real good yet, but he could end up being a good player. I don't know. I thought they would have got
more. Yeah, like the other thing too is that first-round pick, like it is lottery protected, and if Vegas goes on a run here, that pick is not going to be worth much. It's going to be a 25th or higher pick. So
I think the difference is going to, for Vegas anyways, is once everybody's healthy, that's on LTI with them right now, what depth do they have to move? Because they're going to get pretty thin pretty quick.
They were, I can't remember what the number was. It was like $11 million over the cap once everyone returns. So I don't know how they're going to juggle that, what the roster is going to look like, who has to move out. And obviously the fantasy appeal here for Jack Eichel, like he's going to center Max Pacioretty and Mark Stone. And that
if they're both there.
Well, you would assume they would be though. Like if you're making that trade for Eichel, I don't think you're going to, bastardize your wings, right? You got to.
Yeah. Well, the easiest way to tell who's going to move in Vegas is look to see who has a no movement clause and who doesn't. If they don't have one, they're pretty much on the short list to be gone.
Yeah. Yep.
That's how Vegas has basically done it for the past few years. So if you're making $5 million plus and you don't have a no movement clause, you're pretty much on the way out.
That's a good point, Bruce.
Yeah, I think it would be Riley Smith would probably be.
That's kind of who I'm thinking too.
Yep. I'd agree with that. And really, truthfully, he hasn't done a ton offensively anyway for that franchise to this point. Like he's been okay, but.
He's the third wheel on that line.
Yeah.
First 2 seasons.
Yeah, but lately he hasn't done much, so. Okay. But John, Bruce, you guys thought the trade was reasonable anyway?
Considering, like they said, they don't know with Eichel surgery, I think that's the best they could have asked for.
Sure.
Tuch is from the Buffalo area, so from what I read, he's super excited about going, playing basically for what he would consider his home team. So,
yeah, he's...
Like Tyler said, Krebs, it's like... So, and then first round pick, and then second or third. I guess it depends on the conditions, right? So there were conditions on that. So,
okay. And John, any additional comments or thoughts?
No, not overly. Eichel wasn't helping the Sabres in any regard there. So,
see you later.
Yeah, basically how I see it.
I did hear. I don't know if you guys saw the clip. Eichel told the Sabres, if I can get my surgery, I'll come back and play for you. It wasn't like a, hey, I'm not coming back to play for you. It's like, I want to do my surgery and let me do my surgery. I'll come back and play for the Sabres. And they told him no. And as a result, you no longer have Jack Eichel on your team. So they botched that one, honestly, Buffalo. Like they,
they botched
a lot of stuff.
Well, and you look at it, Connor kind of set the precedent for that, right? Because the Oilers didn't even balk it when he said he wanted to do something that was off the
Yep.
That's something that had never been done before too, right? They just said, okay, well, let's do it, right? So it's, he kind of set the precedent there, and then Buffalo decided not to. Like, you've got mixed martial arts fighters that have had this surgery and then have gone back to fighting after. Like, yeah. Realize hockey is high impact, but mixed martial arts too, those take a kick to the neck or a kick to the jaw or something.
Yeah.
That it's going to take just as much punishment that way as it is going to be from hockey play. So you'd think, but.
Yeah, that's too bad, but life moves on. So.
Yeah.
Hate to do this to you guys, but Chris Letang returned to action after missing the previous four games in COVID protocol. Dougie Hamilton was listed as day-to-day. Lindy Ruff wouldn't say, said he would not play Friday, and we don't know when he's coming back. He's actually listed as out right now. Mikko Rantanen and Devin Toews were clear for game action. They played, I think it was yesterday. Victor Olofsson missed another game here recently. He's out. Don't know what's going on with him. Patrice Bergeron and Brock Nelson each scored four goals on Thursday night. We'll talk more about Brock Nelson in our waiver wire picks because he's doing well so far this season. Braden Schenn left Thursday's game against San Jose with an upper body injury. I think you boys all like this one. Jordan Eberle nets his first hat trick in Seattle Kraken history. It was a bit of a weak goal in the third one, to be honest, but
it went
who
in.
Cares? Oh, yeah, who cares? Yeah, good for Abs. We're happy to see that.
It went in.
Brady Tkachuk was named the 10th captain in Ottawa Senators franchise history. Anthony Mantha was placed on IR with an upper body injury, later revealed that he underwent shoulder surgery and is out indefinitely. Carey Price is set to rejoin the Montreal Canadiens on Monday. Good to see him back after going into the NHL player treatment program. Mikhail Sergachev was suspended two games for an illegal hit to the head of Toronto's Mitch Marner. What, you guys saw the clip? I'm assuming. What did you think of that play? Like, was it worth two games?
No.
Tyler?
Probably knocked some sense to him more than anything. He's been playing better since that hit, so.
I've got him on my team, so it all worked out. But that's definitely worth two games because you're already tied up with somebody else, and somebody comes in from your blind side.
Yeah.
And picks your chin.
And even if he didn't make much contact, I think it's more the intent, right? The head was targeted. It was very clearly targeting his head.
It's something you don't have to do. You could go a little bit lower, shoulder to shoulder, but you clipped his face. Just like Ryan Reeves there in Calgary, I think it was last night. It was a similar thing, except Ryan Reeves is a little bit bigger than Sergachev. But when you don't see it coming, that stuff.
No, it's dangerous can't do that, for sure. I'm okay with the two-game suspension, I think. Just like you said, because he's already tied up. He's engaged with another player, and it's dangerous. Like, they don't have a lot of tolerance for third man in stuff, right? So. And then, of course, we talked about Connor's goal. We won't beat that to death anymore, but... yeah, absolutely brilliant. It's goal of the year. There's no question. No one's going to top it. Like, okay,
I was going to say, he might still top
it. Connor might top
he
it.
He might still top it.
You know what?
Even the look that on was his the best. Face after.
Yes.
He was shocked.
He couldn't believe it.
He was shocked.
I can't believe these guys are this bad.
Holy shit. Yeah. I just did that. I went 1-on-4. And then after the game to be like, well, you know, I get paid to score big goals. So
just totally just downplays it, right?
It's... Like, man, shut up. Don't even talk like that. Like, that was amazing. You know it was. Quit pretending.
He knew it was. He knew it was. That was hilarious. And this drives me crazy. Flames fans were trying to say that Matthew Tkachuk's goal was better the following night in a blowout game to go up 6-0 or whatever it was, some whatever dipsy doodle between his legs bullshit goal, and they're saying it's better than Connor's goal. Like, not a chance. Sorry, Flames fans, if you're listening.
It wasn't
not
even
close.
Good. Shesterkin shouldn't have let that in.
Why was Shesterkin still playing at 6-0?
Well,
or 5-0?
I have no idea, but that should have never went in. It wasn't that good, but to even try and compare the two, to put the 6-0 goal in like the last, what was it? Like
whatever
last
it was.
4 minutes, 3 minutes and compare that to being down 4-1 and coming all the way back and then scoring that with
3 minutes,
whatever
three
it was,
minutes
3 minutes left to send it to overtime. 1-on-4. To even try to compare it is
Typical Flames fan. Just asinine. Don't even get me started.
What else do they have? What else do they have?
Did you see Markusen's comments after the game on that goal?
No.
They were interviewing Markusen. They asked him about the goal. And he goes, he tries that crap all the time in practice. He stops. It never works.
Yeah.
There you go. His own goaltender's throwing shade. So. Oh, man. Okay. Well, we'll move on from that. I didn't get a ton of news down here today, guys, for the last day or so, but the Chicago Blackhawks, they fired Jeremy Colleton. Not a huge surprise given the start they're off to. Yeah, Chicago's just in shambles right now. Anthony Duclair had a 4-point game as the Panthers beat the Carolina Hurricanes, and they remained the only team without a regulation loss. They're incredible right now, and that was without Barkov and without Bennett. And without Bobrovsky, actually. So, Tyler, you're probably pretty unimpressed at the moment, but I'm sure he'll be back soon.
I was excited.
I have, like, half my team's injured right now. Like,
yeah.
Everybody's out. Either have COVID or their groins are injured.
Lower body injury.
Yeah, lower body injury. No, yeah. Thanks for correcting it. Yeah. I just want to add, like, 16 IR spots for COVID and lower body injury purposes.
I know.
Because it's getting out of hand.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yikes.
Antti Raanta left last night's game against Florida after a collision with Ryan Lomberg. Tyler, you saw my reaction on Twitter earlier today. Like, absolutely, under no circumstances should there be a suspension for Ryan Lomberg. I'm actually annoyed that he was given 5 in a game for that.
How they can get, still after reviewing it. See, it's one thing to, like, make a mistake and call it a 5-minute sure. major and a game misconduct. But when you review it and you still screw it up, how can you, I could see, like, at full speed, it looks like he's tucking his elbow in.
Yeah.
Like, he's tucking it. He's not, it almost does look like he follows through, but it's more just the fact that he was skating that fast and he kind of ran into him and everything started moving. It wasn't actually like a follow through with his elbow.
Nothing.
Why would he even do that?
What?
I don't know.
And why would Raanta come out that far and not expect?
Well, that's just it. If he wants to stay safe, just
he did nothing to protect himself.
Yeah. Like, stay in the crease if you don't want to get hit.
Yeah, you're fair game. Like, if you, I don't know what Raanta was thinking.
And even then, he still didn't actually try to hit him. It wasn't like he was lining him up and he was just going to rock him. It was he was looking at the puck and. Raanta came out as fast as he was coming in, and
hopefully the NHL gets this one right, because that's not a suspendable play in my opinion, but time will tell. And then Peter Mrazek is going to miss approximately 4 weeks with a, I'm going to call it a lower body injury, although if you've been listening to the show for a while, you probably know what it is. He was placed on IR. Tyler, I saw you dropped him in one of our leagues recently.
I waited, played one game. He had terrible numbers.
And now he's out. So
just
see you later.
I had enough.
It really should be Jack Campbell's crease anyway. I don't know why there's any debate about that, but
Yeah. I think if you look at the contracts, because they signed him for 3 years at 3.5. So you'd think he's going to play a little bit more, but
no, not at this point. Okay, guys, that kind of wraps up our week, our news for the week. Unless there's anything else, I don't think I missed anything else significant, but all right, let's move on to, I'm calling this segment now Ask the Hacks. So every week we're just going to make it a regular segment. We're going to do listener questions. So for anyone listening, feel free to send us questions on, you know, Facebook or not Facebook, I keep saying Facebook, Instagram or Twitter, or send us an email at fantasyhockeyhacks@gmail.com. So with that, let's get into it. Would you drop Anders Lee for Lucas Raymond or Alex Killorn?
If you asked me this question on Friday, yes. Today, no.
I'm still going to say yes, because Lucas Raymond scored a power play goal again. I know Anders Lee had 2 goals tonight, but I'm still going to go yes. If you can grab Lucas Raymond, grab him.
I think we already knew your answer.
Right? Everybody loves Raymond. Tyler, what's your thoughts?
Alex Killorn's actually been playing really well. But yeah, I would drop for Lucas Raymond or Alex Killorn. Really one of the two.
Okay.
I don't, New York Islanders aren't going to score as many goals as I think Detroit or Tampa would. So,
and the thing, I picked up Killorn in one league, but his numbers aren't really sustainable, right? Truthfully, if you look at his shooting percentage, it's like super high. The 5-on-5 shooting percentage is really high too. So I think what Lucas Raymond is doing is probably a little more sustainable than what Killorn's doing. And Anders Lee's been cold to start the year. So John, what's your take on it?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that. I'd drop Lee for Lucas Raymond as well. He's just on fire and he's been playing great. So yeah.
Okay. Good stuff. Moving on. Should I drop Nico Hischier for Ryan Getzlaff? And Tyler, I'm going to go to you because I know your answer already. Yes. Yes. Okay, Bruce, what's your take on it?
I just picked up.
Yeah, I would drop Hischier for Getzlaff right now as well.
John?
I refuse to answer this question.
He's on the Getzlaff is like public enemy number one.
Getzlaff's on the list.
He's top three on the list for sure.
Who's number one on that list?
Ryan Smith.
That's still.
No, I'm just kidding.
John.
Ryan Smith.
No, Smith. What? Smith's top.
Get
10,
him out of here.
I'd say Getzlaff number two. Corey Perry number
How?
One.
Corey Perry. Okay, I can agree with Corey Perry number
one. What's that? No, it's Kessler. Eric Staal.
Eric Staal's on the list.
Eric Staal is like top three on the list.
Okay.
We're going to have to do on this list because Ryan Smith being on this list is bullshit.
Yeah, Ryan Smith. Oh, yeah. We've had many a conversation, Tyler, at work about Ryan Smith. It's it's tragic, really.
Yikes.
Okay. We'll move away from that. Yeah, I think drop Hischier for Getzlaff. I'm not a big Hischier fan anyway, and Getzlaff playing with Terry and Adam Henrik right now, they're just crushing it as a line. They're putting up lots of offense, so. Yes, do it now. And if your league counts faceoffs, hits, or PIMs, then it's just really no question. Is it time to drop Jacob Chychrun? And this one's come up lots across Facebook groups, Twitter, basically everywhere. So, John, I'll go to you first. Are you dropping Jacob Chychrun?
Oh, man. That's a tough call for me. But yeah, I think I would. He's just not performing and he's sliding down the depth chart. So,
well, yeah, like he's not playing as much power play time as we'd expect.
Yeah.
I mean, he's contributing shots. I think that's pretty much it at this point.
Basically, yeah.
And that Arizona team, to quote Tyler, is bad. It's really bad.
It's bad.
It's a special kind of bad. And it's going to get worse, right? They're going to trade away Kessel. They're going to trade away probably. Clayton Keller at some point. Like they're starting from scratch again. They're trying to get Shane Wright and who's the other guy there? Who's the one you're big on, John?
Are you talking about Bedard
like
or
when they drafted
Bedard? Thank you, Connor Bedard. Lambert. Bedard and Wright. Those. I mean, they're basically going to do as much as they can to draft one or two of those players. And Bruce, what's your take on it? Time to drop Chychrun?
I think so. As long as he's not getting top power play time, I don't think there's any point in holding on to him. Because Gostisbehere is getting the points on the first power play. So we can even do that swap. That's a little better than what he got now.
For sure. We kind of already talked about it, but one of the questions, what do you guys think of who won the Jack Eichel trade and why? So I guess we didn't frame it in that way, but I'll just go to each of you. Like, John, who won the trade, Buffalo or Vegas?
I'm going to go with Vegas just because of, Peyton Krebs being unproven and, I don't know, the rest of the package to me doesn't seem that great, especially with that, pick being unprotected or sorry, being protected, I should say.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Bruce.
Jack Eichel won this trade because he gets to have his surgery and he doesn't have to play in Buffalo anymore. So I'd say he won the trade.
Well played, Bruce. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Tyler, what's your take?
Vegas did. Anytime you get the best player, you end up winning that trade.
So. Yep, I agree. I would echo those exact comments. They get better. They become. I don't think it actually affected their odds to win the cup more, from what I read. So, but it should. I think it definitely should. It addresses their center depth, which was a problem, and their lineup looks pretty good once everybody's healthy. The next question here: I have an opportunity to trade Robin Leonard for Jack Campbell. There's some other pieces in the trade still coming. Should I do it? Concerned about the injury situation in Vegas. Bruce, I'll go to you first.
No. No, no, no. Don't do it. Jack Campbell is going to regress at some point. He can't continue on this where Leonard has shown that he can. So yeah. I wouldn't do it.
All right, Tyler.
I think Vegas finishes second in the Pacific.
Behind Calgary, right? Boy. I'm kidding. Oh, I'm kidding. Boy. Just jokes.
And he's going to play. Yeah. He's going to play most of the games too. So I think at some point when Mrazek gets back, they might do more of a 1A, 1B kind of thing. But Robin Leonard's the number one guy there, and he's going to play lots of games. So
stick with Leonard. Okay. John, you're nodding in approval.
Yeah. Sticking with Leonard on that one. Just based on the team in front of him. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I would agree. Hold on, Leonard. Just be patient. There's injuries, sure, but it's gonna resolve itself soon here. And if you really had to, go out I just wouldn't do it. Okay, so I guess now would be a good time to tell our listeners that the Fantasy Hockey Hacks podcast is a proud partner of NHLShop.ca. For all your officially licensed NHL merchandise, follow the links in our show notes or on our website. From jerseys and hats to socks, clocks, and more, NHLShop.ca is the best source for NHL apparel and merchandise. Visit the store today to see current promotions and offers. Terms and conditions apply. Full disclosure, Fantasy Hockey Hacks may receive a small commission for your purchase, which helps us to continue providing original content. So check out the links, guys. It's approaching the holiday season. If you're looking for gift ideas, follow the links. It does help support the show, and you can get a hold of some great Fanatics NHL officially licensed merchandise. With that, let's move on to Edgework and the NHL schedule for week 5. There's quite a few teams this week with 4 games. Check the show notes. We've got everyone listed here. Some teams of interest, though, we're going to go through 2 of them. First up is the Boston Bruins. So with the exception of the Edmonton Oilers, who they play next week, the Bruins have a very favorable schedule. They're going to match up against Ottawa, the New Jersey Devils, and the Montreal Canadiens. A player like Charlie Coyle, who's only 12% rostered, could offer some value in 4 games next week. He's got 5 points in 8 games played this season, and he's performed well against Ottawa, Edmonton, and Montreal in the past. So I looked at the splits there. He's got some good matchups there. He's playing with Taylor Hall at 5-on-5, so give him a look if you're interested in grabbing someone from the Bruins roster for next week. The other one here is the Washington Capitals. They've got a 4-game schedule that is fairly favorable. They've got games against the Buffalo Sabres, who have no Mittelstadt, no Olofsson at this point, obviously no Jack Eichel. They're playing the Red Wings, who are actually playing quite well right now, but they've also got the Blue Jackets, who don't have Laine or Boqvist, and the Pittsburgh Penguins. So give Connor Sherry a look. He may get moved into the top 6 with Anthony Mantha out with a shoulder injury, and he has put up points against both Buffalo and Pittsburgh throughout his career, and he sees time on power play 1, and he may be in the top 6 with Mantha out. So a low ownership play for next week that you're going to get some volume starts. Teams with 3 games. Again, there's quite a few of these. 2 here to focus on: the New York Rangers. They've got favorable matchups later next week against the Blue Jackets and the Devils, but they do take on Florida in the first game of the week. Some players to consider are Alex Lafreniere, Kaapo Kakko, and Jacob Trouba. Gorgiev may get a start because they've got a back-to-back on Saturday, Sunday. The Jets are another team to look at for next week. They've got games against St. Louis, who does not have Shen currently. Ryan O'Reilly's back. They play the San Jose Sharks and the Los Angeles Kings. Andrew Kopp is still 69% owned, so there's a chance you can get your hands on him. Paul Stastny at 60.
Nice.
Yeah, when I saw that, I was like, the guys are going to love this. But Paul Stastny's 16% owned. Josh Morrissey's 58% owned. And Nate Schmidt. They're all serviceable options for next week. I don't think I listed Nate Schmidt in our pickups or waiver wire pickups, but he's someone that you guys should be looking at. He, like at 38% owned, I think he's got 9 points in 11 games. He was getting, what's that? Yeah, all assists. I think he's at 5 power play points.
Yeah.
And he's getting some time on that first unit too, from what I'd seen, and on the top pairing with Josh Morrissey. So give him a look if you're in need of D. I think that's a good option. Teams of two games, the Colorado Avalanche are probably the team to target. They play twice next week against Vancouver and San Jose. I'd expect a healthy level of fantasy production from some players, including JT Compher, Burakovsky, Nazem Kadri, Bowen Byram, and Devin Toews, who got back into game action last night. And the New York Islanders are the lone team with one game for next week. They play the New Jersey Devils, who are without Jack Hughes and possibly Dougie Hamilton. If you're looking for a spot, start next Thursday. The Islanders have got lots of fantasy-relevant players with low ownership that could have a fantasy impact, including Brock Nelson, Oliver Wahlstrom, and Anthony Beauvillier. So that's it for the schedule for next week. We'll move on to NHL Week 5 waiver wire targets, starting with Ryan Getzlaff. He's been on a tear, hey guys.
I ain't talking about him.
John, I actually forgot how much you hate this player. He's just been good. He's just been so good playing with Troy Terry and Adam Henrique. They've got 3 games next week. He's got 11 points in 12 games. He's on pace for 75 points so far, which is the highest we've seen from him since 2017-2018. He's shooting a lot more than he has been in the past. He's got 22 hits so far. He's almost 60% in the faceoff circle. Like, I don't know. There's just a lot of things to like from a fantasy perspective. You don't have to necessarily like the player, but yeah, I picked him up in one or two leagues. Tyler, you picked him up in at least one league. I'd give him a look.
Well, the pressure's off, right? He's not making $8 million a season anymore. He's having fun out there. He's in a completely no pressure situation. So he's, and it's showing.
I think he gets traded.
I hope he comes to Edmonton.
Yeah, no.
honestly, could you imagine him as your third line center?
Yeah. I was surprised when he re-signed. But the other night when he became the highest scoring player for the Ducks passing Solani, it makes sense why he would want to sign one more year. But I think he's done everything he could do for that for that team at this point. So I think he'd be happy to go for a run with somebody.
Close. Edmonton's close. Honestly, I call me a homer if you want, but look at what they've done through. Yeah, I'm a homer, look what they've done through 10 games. Yep.
So am I.
But objectively, I think this is a special team. I think this is a special Edmonton Oilers team that could make some noise. And if you can grab a guy like Ryan Getzlaff as your third line center, like that's the kind of playoff depth they need. So, I want to talk about Marcus Foligno. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to this guy at all, but he has been on a tear. He's 34% rostered. He was actually playing with Eriksson Ek and Fiala in the last game. He covers a lot of categories. Hits and PIMs. He's got 30 PIMs already, 25 hits, 3 power play points, 8 points, 4 goals in 9 games played. Not a big volume shooter. And actually, shooting percentage is crazy high at 36%. But they've got a fairly favorable schedule next week. And he's getting great lineup placement and deployment on the ice. And he covers a lot of categories. Like, so what do you guys think? Like, I like Marcus Foligno for next week. Okay, I'm getting lots of nods of approval. Yeah. Okay, we like him. And he's dual eligible in Yahoo. Left wing, right wing eligible. So give him a look. He's likely to return some value for you for next week. Alex Iafallo is another one. 33% rostered. They got 4 games next week: Toronto, Montreal, Ottawa, and Winnipeg. He's playing with Kempe and Deneau. He's actually on a 5-game point streak, or wasn't a 5-game point streak at the time of writing, producing 7 points and 4 goals over that stretch. He's getting lots of power play time, nearly 64% power play share, 3.4 shots on goal per game. He's got a total of 10 points, 5 goals, and 11 games played this season. So, any objections there? You guys are okay with Alifio? I follow.
I think a lot of players on that LA team that have been off to hot starts are going to all kind of regress a bit. But for spot starts, I think I follow.
Yeah, I mean, for a 4-week schedule, right? I mean, that just makes sense for 1 week.
Yeah.
Talk about Brock Nelson. We mentioned earlier he had a four goal game. He's up to 8 points and 6 goals in the season now. He's typically a guy who plays in the top six, right? And for the Islanders, fairly consistent producer. There's some regression coming. Like I mentioned in here, his shooting percentage is 26% of the season. His shot volume's at a career high at 2.9 shots on goal per game. But if he kind of settles back into his 3-year average, which is about 59 points on the season, you could probably do worse. And, you know, they've got one game next week, so maybe it's a guy you want to look at beyond next week, or maybe you want to stash him and just keep on your bench. But I think he can return some value over an 82-game schedule anyway, especially in deeper leagues. If it's in a 12-team redraft situation, like I think he definitely has some value. What else here, guys? Robert Thomas. You guys been paying attention to Robert Thomas?
No,
you're all shitty guys. Look, he's been good with Ryan O'Reilly out and now Shen's out. It kind of looks like he's the guy. So on Wednesday, he played a total of 21-42 against the Sharks. He scored one goal, had one assist, and he's up to 8 points, one goal in 9 games played. And all of his kind of underlying numbers suggest it's fairly sustainable. And he plays 4 games next week. And he's playing with Tarasenko 5-on-5. So, yeah, Tyler's nodding. He approves.
It's definitely a good situation for him. He's been, just a young guy, 22 years old. So, I see nothing but good things coming from him in the future, too. So, if he can keep this up, he's definitely a solid look fantasy-wise.
And he's dual eligible. He's center, right wing. And in a keeper league situation, I think that makes a lot of sense because he probably will get better eventually. So. Tyler, how disappointed were you? Patrick Laine out 4 to 6 weeks.
I just added him to the list of my team. I'm out of IR spots, and I think I got 4 more guys that could go
on. That sucks. So. It looks like Cole Sillinger is going to be sort of an immediate beneficiary of that situation. He was actually spotted on the top power play unit in Laine's spot in practice this week. He's 2% rostered. I think he's got 2 games for next week, but he's playing with Bjorkstrand and Nyquist 5-on-5. And Bjorkstrand has been on an absolute tear to start the year. Sillinger looks good. He had 2 goals and 1 assist on Wednesday against the Avalanche. 5 points, 3 goals in 9 games played. Yeah, he's a guy to look at. Low ownership, but I think he could return some value. John, Bowen Byram, we've talked about in the past.
Yeah. What can't you say about the guy? He's been fantastic. There was about a week there earlier in the season where it was a little dicey, where I'd actually dropped him for a day, and then he ended up getting a couple points in that next game. So I was like, oh, man, what did I do? So I picked him up again, and it's been nothing but smooth sailing from there. So, yeah. If he's ever available in your leagues, you pick him up and you hold on to him, I think.
He's still available in roughly 50% of leagues.
Yeah. Yeah, the injury to Makar is definitely helping him out, but I think that he can sustain some upside there even when Makar's back. So, yeah, no, I've been really happy with him. That's for sure.
What? And what's your guys' take on Cale Makar right now? Like he's basically he's what Dauber calls Band-Aid Boy certified. Like he's every single year he misses time, and it's become a real issue, right? Like if you draft Cale Makar with the 10th or 15th overall pick in your draft and he sits for a third of the season, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I had him last year and he had the same thing too. He was 2 different times he was out for a while. So.
Yeah. And a guy like Bowen Byram, like if he can step in and be a viable replacement, that's just good value.
Definitely. Yep.
Are you running Makar?
I'm not running him out of town. I'm not going to Mark Spector the guy, but I'm just saying like It
this is bold.
I'm just saying, like, it's a problem based on draft position, right? If you take him that early and he's out all the time, he's a guy I might hesitate to pick up next year.
Yeah. He's a point of game in his career, so I don't know if I would do that.
He's a point of game when he plays, right? So if he plays 40 games, great, yeah. But I don't know. I'm just saying it's a concern, right? Not to knock him in any way, shape, or form. He's a great player, but I'm maybe
like,
a
little bit.
But,
it yeah. Sure does.
yeah. Okay, so let's move on from that one, I guess. speaking of injuries, Drew Doughty and Sean Walker are out. Sean Walker for the season, Drew Doughty kind of long-term. I think it was 6 to 8 weeks. Cale Clegg is now taking on all the power play time in L.A. He's 1% rostered in Yahoo. He's got 4 games next week. He's playing in the top pairing with Edler, and he's getting power play one time. He has 3 assists, 2 power play points through 4 games. Any takes on Cale Clegg? Are you guys, is that someone you're taking a look at?
Probably in a deeper league, yeah. A shallow league, probably not, but a deeper league, if you need scoring, that would be someone to pick up.
Yeah, I'm thinking in a 12-man league where it's a bit deeper and you need some help on D. Like, there are worse options out there, right? I think if he's getting power play one time and he can put up some points. But, Tyler, you're not sold.
I don't know.
1%.
4 games next week does.
And that's
does
why he's in there, because they got 4 games next week.
Yeah.
And
yeah. And if your league count shifts, yep. Any of these defensemen are worthwhile.
I think he's throwing shade at the league.
I think he is. Yeah. Yeah.
League manager.
Even I've looked like every day at dropping chicken because he's like a minus whatever 20. He is. Like he gets, it's minus yep. something every single night. And he finally got 1 assist, I think, yesterday. But he's still with getting points for taking shifts.
Because he skates 26 minutes a game.
He's still averaging like 3.9 points a game. And it's like, well.
That's hard to drop. Nothing, so take my 3.9 points. It is. Yeah, okay. Well, fair enough. Let's move on to Cam Fowler. I think we had talked about him. Maybe it was last week or the week before, but I think he's been playing quite well. He's on pace for 55 points right now with 8 points and 1 goal in 12 games. And I said, truthfully, if Kevin Shattenkirk is still available in your league, maybe he's the guy you want to go for. I think he's tied right now, they said, with Adam Fox and one of the defensemen for scoring by D-men so far through the season. But he's 81% owned, so the chances are Shattenkirk's not going to be available. But if he is, grab him. Oh, Roman Josi, that's who it was. So Adam Fox, and he's tied with Adam Fox and Roman Josi. Let's take a look at him if he's available. If not, take a look at Cam Fowler, 41% owned. He's getting a bit less time on the power play because Drysdale's there and Shattenkirk's there. He's only 40%. He's getting 40% offensive zone starts, so he's taking on more of the defensive responsibility, but he's still been productive. So if you need help on D, and he takes a lot of shifts, Tyler, if your league counts shifts. So
I've looked at it.
Take a look at it.
I've looked at it.
And then, guys, we got 2 goalies here. Jonathan Quick being the first one. And just again, because they got 4 games next week, there's not a lot of goaltenders on the waiver wire in any of our leagues. Bruce Hay, like in Yahoo, in Tyler in our one ESPN no. league, and in the podcast league either. So I don't know.
I have one too many goalies in our one league. I have 5 goalies. I got to figure out what to do with one of them.
Yeah.
Yikes. That's why I've been sending out trade offers.
You've been sending out trade offers? Out. Oh, gee, yeah, come on.
I don't trade with
I got one.
What?
Yeah, he got one. How was it? That wasn't bad. I thought it was reasonable.
If you took Adam Fox out of it, I might have gone for it, but not with Fox in
it. Tyler, do it. Tyler, do you got to start somewhere for a bag of pucks kind of deal?
No,
it wasn't quite
that
bad.
Somewhere, got to start somewhere. Hey, Buffalo asked for Kachuk, so hey,
that's right.
You got to start.
Yeah, hey, yeah, exactly. We're chatting about that. Like, I just think to me that tells me that he's an issue in that dressing room. I think Kachuk.
Oh man, who, yeah, now you're running him out of town. I think it was probably Buffalo asking about him. And why wouldn't they?
Of course.
Well, I read a wild rumor that Kevin Adams called Kevin Weeks and Plant and had Weeks post that just to try to get Vegas' offer up. So don't know. It was just something that I had read. So because apparently Weeks and
even Kachuk,
Weeks and Adams know each other quite well. So
even Kachuk in I think it was a first intermission interview last night said something about I think that was just somebody trying to get more out of the trade or something. I'm not worried about. Yeah. I'm not going anywhere. So even he,
that makes sense.
So, but he's probably going to end up in St. Louis. Anyway,
that's
so.
Kind of the big rumor too. Is eventually he'll end up in St. Louis. So now you're trying to run him out of town.
Yeah, I'm running him out of town.
The Battle of Alberta is going to be a lot of fun to watch this year.
Finally,
finally. Okay, so let's talk about Jonathan Quick here, guys. Like, do you any thoughts on him? Look, he started 60% of the games for the Kings so far this season, which I think we kind of expected Peterson to get that majority of the starts. But Quick's, like, Peterson hasn't been very good. He's at a 3.28 goals against average and an 8.95 save percentage, while Quick has posted a 2.47 goals against average and a 9.15 save percentage. Are you going to take a look at him for next week with four games or for the rest of the season?
If I desperately need a goaltender, maybe, but I'm not too sure. I had Quick for a number of years in my draft, and it was always goalie number four. I don't know if I, especially with them missing Walker and Doughty now on the defensive end, I just.
So you're not totally sold anyway.
No.
Okay, fair enough. Tyler?
I was going to say the same thing with Doughty, Walker being out. The start to the season was different with both of them in. I just don't think that they have the depth. It was already a surprising start, and then with both of them being out now, I think that changes the whole team. So good that they have four games next week, but you're going to be reaching if you're picking them up.
John, any thoughts or comments there?
Well, unfortunately for me, my goaltending situation is pretty bleak at the moment. So honestly, I might be taking a look at him too. I don't want to. I'm not a fan of the whole situation there, like you guys said, with the injuries and everything else. But if I'm desperate enough, I'm taking a look.
Okay. And that's really what it was. There's four games and there's not a lot of goaltender depth on the wire right now. There's really not much to look at. So we're reaching here for goaltenders on the wire. There's not a whole lot to look at. The last one here we got is Alex Nedeljkovic in Detroit. He's 45% rostered. They play Edmonton, Washington, and Montreal next week. He's only got one win on the season, but my case here for Nedeljkovic is that his peripherals have actually been pretty good. He's got a 2.22 goals against average and a 9.30 save percentage and a 3.8 goals saved above expected. I think it was over his past four games. So conversely, like, Greiss has not been very good. Like, he played well tonight, but his previous four starts, his peripherals are awful and the team wasn't looking good with him in goal. So I guess Nedeljkovic, we saw what he could do last year. Detroit has been good so far to this point in the season. I think Ned could, you can make a case for picking him up in redraft leagues or even in keeper leagues, given some of the stuff he's done. What do you guys think, though?
I just don't think Detroit's going to win too many games.
You're still not sold, hey?
I think they're going to be in every game that they play. And I think Raymond's thank you. Great. And so is Sider. But I think this is kind of the year for them to just kind of be in games. They might win some games that they shouldn't win, but I don't know. I think that's kind of spot starts. Like, I picked up Brassois today, and that was an absolute mistake. Yeah.
You could have had Greiss.
I could have. And I had him for two games. One was really, really good, and I was like, oh, man, I've got another goal here. The next game was absolutely awful. So, yeah. So yeah, I'm just not sold, but spot starts.
Yeah, sure. That's fair. John, thoughts?
Just looking at it, I think they got some tough games coming up. So I don't know.
Maybe not.
Yeah. Like they got the Oilers, Capitals.
It's tough, guys. Honestly,
Blue Jackets are coming up in Vegas. And,
yeah.
Yeah. Tough to say. Well, he plays great, other than the last bit here for the Wings. But I think he can turn his game around for sure. Like you say, the underlying numbers don't look terrible. But it's a tough call for me.
Okay, and Bruce, your thoughts on Ned?
Well, I think if you've got a team that's got goalie injury issues, if you need, like in Yahoo, we have to have so many starts per week. So if you need a goalie that's going to give you a start so that you don't lose all of your goalie stats and that for the week, he's worth an add.
Yeah, like if it's a head-to-head.
Tyler said they're going to be in a lot of games and they're probably going to win a few they probably shouldn't win, but they're a lot better than what people expected them this year, and I think they're going to surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, and that's more the case I'm making here too, is in a head-to-head categories, like his peripherals will get you through. Like if you need a start and if you need to try and boost your peripherals or pad them a bit, he's a guy that could possibly help you. Okay, any other goaltenders, guys, that we should be looking at? Like anyone else that comes to mind that we maybe didn't talk about here, we should talk about? Like I said, there's not much out there.
Yeah, it's pretty thin.
Oh, let me find my crickets button.
maybe Vanacek, maybe.
Yeah, see, and his stats aren't good, though, either. Like, he's lost, I think, his last three games, and his save percentage has been awful.
Yeah, didn't he get lit up last game?
One league I have both him and Samson.
Yeah, James Reimer, actually, Tyler's a... Like, I've spot started him a couple times over the last week or so. I think he's someone you could look at.
Yeah, just kind of waiting for that team to fall off. They haven't been great, but they've been better than I thought they were going to be.
Yeah, we're all waiting for the shoe to drop on the Sharks. No question.
Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, with that, I guess we'll wrap it up here. I don't have anything else here to add to the show. That's it for another week. So, boys, thanks for a good show. It was fun. If you guys have questions, please hit us up on social media. On Twitter at FHX, on Instagram at FantasyHockeyHacks, or through email at FantasyHockeyHacks@gmail.com. Check out the website, FantasyHockeyHacks.com. And with that, we'll wrap up another show. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Great work. Great work, everybody.
I couldn't take it seriously. Good night, everyone.
I can't take myself. All right,
everybody. Take care.
See you guys.